In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John. We are in chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. So, in this day, the Last Supper day, the Lord was sitting with his holy disciples. He washed their feet. He started to speak about the coming hours, the hours of his redemption, and they were sad because they knew that he is going to die, but they couldn't understand the whole story and the idea of the resurrection and how he will conquer death. It wasn't there in their mind, so they were not in a good mood welcoming the good news. They were just sad. So he started to give the promises of eternal life. He promised that he will go there, and for all his servants, all his followers, he will come again and to take them to his kingdom. And also he said that he had many mansions. He prepared many places for his people. So don't worry about the place. Don't worry about how much you are up to the standards of heaven, because out of his mercy, out of his love, we will be saved when we just believe in him and follow his steps. So he said, where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? So St. Thomas started to speak it out, that we do not understand what you are telling us. What kind of way? Where should we go? And where are you going yourself? So they, as if they do not want to believe in his death, and also they cannot understand the full idea of the kingdom of heaven and the picture of the New Testament and the holy life they will have after some time. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this kind of declaration was very important, because knowing the way, it's not, you know, kind of a road to understand what kind of real road on earth we should go, but Christ himself is the way. So passing through Christ, he is the door of heaven, he is the way to heaven. So we have to stick to him, we have to come closer to him, we have to live with his spirit, we have to obey his commandments, we have to think his way, we have to see people by his eyes, we have to feel his feeling. In this way we will be saved, because he is the way. Again he said, I'm the way, the truth. So the way equals the truth. So we have no other truth but Christ. Christ is the truth of God. He is the real God. He is God incarnate. He is the Lord who we can see and touch, because he came to be one of us in order to let everyone understand what is God looks like. You know, so he is the truth. And also, he is the true man, because man was corrupted. Human being was corrupted. No one can understand what is the ideal picture of a man. How was Adam created? So Christ himself, being the Son of Man, is the full model of a man, is the real true man. So saying, I'm the truth, so he is the true God, and also he is the true man. Because, you know, we can look up to many figures in history, looking after the real model of a man, of a good man. But really, the only good man is Christ. And also, he is the true God. So Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because there is no life away from Christ himself. Because the life living by many people who rejected to be Christian, you know, it's the life with the taste of death. It's the life ending in death. It's kind of a life supervised, controlled, and, you know, inspired by death. So it's not a real life. But in order to enjoy life, you have to take the life from the source of life. And the source of life is God himself. Christ is the source of life. So through Christ, you will live real life. Through Christ, you find the way to heaven. Through Christ, you understand or you believe in the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. So no one can understand or can believe in God the Father without God the Son. No one can catch the kingdom of God without the Son, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. If we know Christ, now we know his Father. His Father cannot be seen, but he sent his only begotten Son in order to know him. So although we cannot see the Father with our eyes, but through the Son now we can see the Father. That's why in our Coptic Orthodox Church we never draw the picture or the icon of the Holy Trinity, I mean the three persons of the Holy Trinity, separated, because this picture is, you know, not with our tradition, because we cannot see God the Father. And even the Holy Spirit is inside our hearts. So we are looking up only to Christ. And through Christ, we can see the God the Father. So no need to put the three persons of the Holy Trinity in any icon. So if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So seeing the Father is just through seeing the Son. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. So again, Saint Philip, because they thought of with this physical eyes, we can see the Father, and no one can see God the Father. So he asked in a simple way, why don't you just show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for anyone? Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So that's exactly what we were saying, that seeing the Son covered the need to see the Father. Through Christ himself, we believe in the Father. We need not to see the Father with our eyes. These physical eyes can never see the glory of the Father. But because of the incarnation, he sent his only begotten Son. So now we can know the Father, we can see the Father with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through seeing Christ, through coming closer to Christ. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? So this declaration is very important, because the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. So whatever the Son doing is exactly what the Father is doing, because they are one in divine nature, they are one in their goal, they are one in their work. But Christ is doing the same will of God the Father. So he said, do not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The word that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So when we see Christ doing many miracles, it's the same power of God the Father. He is doing the miracles with the power of the divine nature, which is the same in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why by the Holy Spirit, the disciples and the followers can do other miracles, because they got the Holy Spirit of the Lord. So again, doing miracles, doing the works by the Son, is exactly as if the Father is doing this work through the Son. Believe me that I am in the Father. You know, saying I am, again, it's I am Jehovah, ego eimi. I am God, and I am in the Father, the same God. So God spoke to Moses in the Old Testament through the Logos. Now the Logos incarnate is God, and God the Father is speaking through him to everyone. So we believe in Christ as equal as God the Father in divinity. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. If you cannot believe me just because of these words, why don't you look around to see the miracles, the works? These works could never be done by humans. These works are just God's work. So, exactly, God created everything, and Christ created many things. God is the healer of all sicknesses, and Christ was the healer of all sicknesses. God had the source of life, and Christ showed himself as the source of life. So the divine nature in Christ is exactly the same in God the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So how come the normal people can do the same works of God? Just by the power of God, through Christ, with the Spirit of Christ. So the disciples, after his ascension, started to do many good miracles. And these miracles, you know, were very different up to the level of raising some people from death. But these all were done by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ. So he's saying, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So by saying greater work, it does not mean that the disciples will be greater than Christ himself. But because Christ is going to ascend to heaven, they will spend much more time on earth preaching his name and doing the miracles in his name with his power. So they will have, you know, wider chance of doing many miracles. That's why the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ himself, will do greater miracles than those who were seen by the disciples in Christ in his time. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that's important, because no one of the disciples could do any miracle with his name, with his power as man. No, they were doing everything in the name of Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all the miracles they had done were glorifying the Holy Trinity. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So by saying my name, this means that the password, that's the key word, that the name of Christ is behind all the blessings, all the miracles, all the powers. We Christians believe in him, and we believe in his name. And by naming his name, we are taking his power. We are putting everything in his hands. We are following his teaching. We are preaching his name, not our names. We are glorifying him, not us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. By saying that you will do greater works than me, they were astonished. How could we do any better than you? So he wanted to give them the key, the answer that you will do these miracles, maybe one day like greater miracles, by the Helper, by the power, by the Holy Spirit, by my Spirit. So as if he's answering their hidden question, how could we do any kind of miracles like you or greater? If you love me, keep my commandments. You just keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. So Christ is praying like the archpriest because he is the head of the church. Being the Son of Man, he is not doing only the work of God, but he is also doing the work of the head of priesthood. So he's praying for his people, he's praying for the church, in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in their hearts, so they will do his works. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That's the promise of Christ in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. So the Myron, who we all took in our early days, this gift of the sacrament of the Myron put the Holy Spirit inside our heart, and this will abide forever and taking us to heaven. The Holy Spirit will guide our way, will teach the same teaching, will guard us in our faith, will work through us to do the work of God himself. So he is our master now. He is the one who is guiding everything in our way. He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the world, when the world rejected Christ, rejected the truth, they cannot accept the Holy Spirit. So the acceptance of the gift of the Holy Spirit is only related to the faith, to believe in Christ as God. When we believe in Christ as God, now we are ready to be baptized, and after baptism, the Holy Spirit will abide with us. So he's saying, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world cannot see the truth because they do not want to see the truth. The truth was there and everyone could see the truth, but they rejected the truth because they wanted to live in darkness. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit will be inside us and he will dwell with us, so he will tell us how to live in our life, and he will direct us the way to heaven. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So saying orphans means that they feel like we don't want you to go. We want you to stay. You are like everything for us. You are like our father. So please don't go. That's the feeling of the apostles at that minute. So he wanted to show them that he knows their feeling, but they will not feel this bad feeling of an orphan because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give them the gift of the presence or the existence of Christ all the time, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ himself. So by staying in their hearts, as if Christ now is in their hearts, so they will never feel this feeling. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And also the promise of his second coming helped them to feel better. Glory to God. Amen.